In cybersecurity, speed isn't just an advantage, it's survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system against hackers. SOC Radar continuously monitors the external threat landscape, so cyber threats hit your radar before they hit your business. But it doesn't stop there. SOC Radar empowers your company with proactive exposure management, actionable insights that help you stay ahead of cyber criminals and minimize business impact. And with SOC Radar's holistic exposure management, you get complete visibility, attack surface monitoring, dark web monitoring, threat intelligence, and brand protection are all unified in one powerful platform. SOC Radar isn't just another tool. It's your frontline defense in a world where threats never sleep. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.
Welcome back to Mama Mystery. I am your host, Kelly, and today's episode is the weekly docket where I round up the headlines in true crime for this week. Now, before I get started, this is a friendly reminder that if you are putting up your Christmas tree this week or soon, check the lights. I say this because I did not, and you might be saying, well, duh, Kelly, of course you check the lights before you plug in the tree or decorate it or whatever. I did not do that. I have a 12-foot tree, and Austin was out of town, and I thought, oh, I'm going to surprise him by decorating, as if, you know, taking care of four kids by myself wasn't enough. I was like, yeah, let's put up all our Christmas decorations too, because I'm just an idiot. So I'm putting up this tree. The tree comes in four sections, okay? I wrapped each section of the tree with lights first, thinking that that would be easier than like getting on a ladder and having to do all of that. So I wrap them all and then I get it all put together, and I lost a fingernail because this freaking tree was so heavy and it was such a mess. I get it all put together, I plug it in, and there's like maybe one string of lights that works, and it looks terrible. I checked the fuse box of the lights. I was checking bulbs. I was doing everything in my power to not have to take this tree back apart and then unstring all these lights. And that's just not how it went for me. So this is your reminder. Don't make the same mistake. Check the freaking lights first. And I know I will never make that mistake again. All right. Today, we've got six stories on the docket, and if you are ever interested in recommending a story for the weekly docket, you can let me know on mamamystery.com, or you can message me on Instagram. I try to, on Thursdays, put up one of those question boxes so that you can recommend any stories that you might have for me, or you can just like throw them in my DMs, whatever. All right, the first story we're going to talk about an honor student who was fatally stabbed during a house party in Long Island, New York. On the evening of Monday, November 3rd, a house party attended by approximately 90 to 100 teenagers spiraled out of control. The gathering was held outdoors and inside the home of a 70-year-old homeowner who would later face charges for hosting this event. Now, shortly after 10:25 p.m., a physical altercation broke out among some of the partygoers, and during the fight, 15-year-old Liam DeLemo, an 11th grade honor student at West Babylon High School, was stabbed both in the abdomen and the arm. His parents arrived at the scene to find him conscious and alert despite having severe wounds. He was transported to Good Samaritan Hospital Medical Center in West Islip. I might be saying that wrong, but and that is where he was pronounced dead shortly after. Over the next week, investigators from the Suffolk County Police Department Homicide Squad worked the case, and on November 10th, they arrested a 17-year-old male from Syosset, New York. The teen's name has been withheld under juvenile offender protections, but he was charged with second-degree murder. During his arraignment in First District Court in Central Islip, the judge ordered him to be held without bail. The homeowner of this residence, 70-year-old Bonnie Miranda, was also charged. She faces counts of endangering the welfare of a child and violating Suffolk County's social host law for allowing the underage and unsupervised event. Now, the community reaction has been one of shock and grief. Investigators continue to ask for witnesses to come forward. Many of the partygoers fled on scene or on foot or scrambled over fences immediately after the stabbing. School officials described Liam as a bright kind of presence whose life was cut far too short. A GoFundMe has been launched to assist his family with funeral expenses, and I'll include the link to that GoFundMe in the show notes if you feel compelled to donate. Next, on February 6th of 2023, so we're backing up a couple years, but there's an update in this case. A 17-year-old Isabella Scavelli of Brooksville, Florida, walked into the Hernando County Sheriff's Office to report that 37-year-old Leonard White had sexually assaulted her the previous evening. Less than 24 hours later, on the night of February 7th, Isabella answered the door of her home when she and her mother were met by a barrage of gunfire. The shooter, identified as White's cousin, Sheldon Robinson, arrived at the residence and opened fire. According to prosecutors, Isabella was struck from behind as she tried to flee for help, and her mother, LaShawn Pope, was also critically wounded. Isabella unfortunately died at the scene. Investigators say White had offered Robinson $6,000 to carry out the murder after learning that Isabella had filed a report against him. At trial, prosecutors revealed that White traveled to Georgia shortly after the report, reportedly to establish an alibi. The case involved extensive obstruction. White and Robinson are both accused of witness tampering, disposing of evidence, including burying the murder weapon in Robinson's yard, and making false statements to law enforcement. And then finally, last month, a federal jury convicted both White and Robinson on charges including conspiracy to commit murder for hire, obstruction of justice, discharge of a firearm in relation to a crime of violence, and in White's case, cocaine possession with intent to distribute. White and Robinson are scheduled to be sentenced on January 30th of 2026, each facing multiple mandatory life sentences. Isabella is remembered as a junior at Hernando High School who was engaged in ROTC, and she was also a part of the tennis team. She had hopes of having a career in the military, and ultimately her life was stolen for having the bravery, the courage to hold this person accountable. And if you ever wonder why sometimes women don't come forward, well, here is a perfect example of why. It's this fear of retribution and retaliation that comes with it. So God bless Isabella for doing the right thing, and I really hope that these guys are both sentenced to the fullest extent of the law. Next, on Monday, November 3rd, the Hancock County Sheriff's Office in Indiana announced the arrest of 35-year-old Curtis Bordenkircher of New Palestine. He is facing multiple felony charges after investigators say four children reported being physically abused and terrorized while they were in his care. The investigation began when the Indiana Department of Child Services received a report on October 17th describing a child with light blue bruising on his buttocks, believed to be caused by being whipped with a belt. As the case developed, the children alleged that Bordenkircher forced them to stand in a corner for extended periods until their legs went numb, threatened to suffocate them with a pillow if they didn't obey, beat them with a belt, and on one occasion dragged a child by the ankles. Court documents revealed that one child said Bordenkircher would taunt them, saying things like, "You all are in the corner until your legs are numb." In other allegations, he held a knife to a child while threatening, "I'll push you through the wall if you don't shut your mouth." Now, one of the children is also quoted saying that he drinks so much a day and then he just gets mad at us, beer after beer after beer. In one heartbreaking anecdote from this story, apparently law enforcement spoke to the children when they went to visit the home because one of the kids had texted their mother. And from what I'm gathering, this is a co-parenting situation and they were spending time at their dad's. So law enforcement goes to the dad's house and is asking the children if they're having a good time. And according to the reports, the children began to shake their heads no, and then the two younger children began to cry. Apparently, one of the victims said that he beat her with a belt, dragged her by the ankles, and then made her stand in a corner until her legs went numb while calling her a disappointment, dumb, and retarded. And then another victim, who is described as or identified as victim two, said that he pushed her up against the wall several times, grabbed her by the neck, threatened her multiple times, including threatening to shove her through a wall if she didn't shut her mouth. The third victim said that the dad threatened him and his siblings multiple times, said if they didn't shut up, he would suffocate them with a pillow and slaughter them in their sleep, further claiming that the suspect had pulled a knife when he said it, and then also told the police that he felt the suspect was serious and would follow through with those threats. And then the fourth victim said he would make the children stand in a corner, sometimes for as long as 6 hours, adding that he and his siblings would sneak to the bathroom if Borden Kircher left the house for a few minutes. He also said that the dad would whip him with his hand, who added that it made him feel bad. This is such a disgusting story. I cannot stand hearing stories like this, especially men or women who abuse children. Like, what are you getting out of that? Does it make you feel so big, bad, and tough to abuse a child? And these parents, quote unquote parents, who just do nothing but drink around their kids and then become these violent assholes. Like, why do you even care to have them if you're just going to drink the day away anyway? Just let the mom have them. I don't know. Like, this is coming from a personal place, I think, because I have personal experience with this. And so I think that's why it gets me so fired up. But Borden Kircher was arrested and booked on 4 felony counts of neglect of a dependent and 2 felony counts of intimidation. He was released on a $600 cash bond the next day. Judges issued a no contact order protecting the children as this case proceeds. According to reports, his next court appearance is scheduled for December 4th of 2025. I'm going to keep an eye on this because I really, really hope that there is some sort of consequence or punishment that is given to this person and that these children are protected. Because I'm so tired of seeing stories where judges will basically slap them on the wrist if it's their first offense or whatever. And then the parent gets to see the kids again and then something horrible happens to the kids. We have a system where usually authorities don't step in until it's already gotten really bad or really out of hand. And I think we need to have a more proactive approach, and I will stand on that hill and die on it. Now, for the next story, this is kind of shifting gears a little bit. I thought this story was just interesting. There's not really any like violence that happens in this story, so hopefully it feels a little bit lighter. But a TikTok influencer has been ordered to pay $1.75 million for having an affair with her manager that allegedly destroyed his marriage. Okay, so this is in Durham County, North Carolina. A jury has ordered that TikTok influencer Brené Kennard has to pay $1.75 million to Akira Montag after finding that Brené was liable for both alienation, of affection and criminal conversation in connection with Akira's former husband, Timothy Montag. Now, the lawsuit was filed in May of 2024, and in her complaint, Akira stated that her marriage to Timothy began on October 20th of 2018. She alleged that Brené, who is said to have millions of followers on TikTok and over 250,000 on Instagram, engaged in a sexual relationship with Timothy while he was still married to Akira. So these key allegations include Brené verbally flirting with Timothy, engaging in behavior designed to seduce him, and continuing the relationship while he was married. Brené also posted content with Timothy on social media while he was still married, including videos and photos that Akira claimed Akira did not consent to. The outcome, according to Akira's attorney, included emotional harm, damage to health, deprivation of a stable two-parent household for the Montag children, and public humiliation. During the trial, which just wrapped up last week, Timothy testified that his marriage to Akira had been effectively over since 2021, that he considered them to be more like roommates. Okay, then why didn't you just get a divorce? Akira contested that claim, asserting that they still lived together and had marital relations. And let me actually backtrack for a second. I know it's easy to say, why don't you just get a divorce? I have been there and I know how hard it actually is to get a divorce. It's very expensive. It requires a lot of money to basically upend your whole life and start fresh. So I am not judging people who stay in relationships that are difficult, but it sounds like they had plenty of money because the jury deliberated for approximately 1 to 2 hours before finding Brené liable, and the breakdown of the damages include $1.5 million for alienation of affection and $250,000 for criminal conversation. North Carolina is one of the few states that still allows alienation of affection lawsuits, where a spouse can seek damages from a third party alleged to have intentionally interfered with their marriage. Brené, who represented herself in court, publicly called the verdict outrageous, claiming that the lawsuit was about money and arguing that the marriage was effectively over before her involvement. Akira's legal team described the verdict as holding someone accountable for the emotional injury inflicted on the family. The attorney said, quote, "This case was not about vengeance, it was about accountability." On Monday, November 10th, a jury sided with Akira Montag, who had sought originally $3.5 million in damages for an affair with her then-husband, Timothy. So Timothy wrote in a statement to People after the ruling that the verdict was absolutely outrageous, claiming that Akira's legal team won by, quote, "pulling the sympathy card. It's easy to make someone out to be the villain when you don't want to face the truth or take accountability. The marriage was not full of genuine love. All parties involved know that. God will get the glory," end quote. I want to know what you think about this. I can kind of see both sides. I can see why you might want to sue the home wrecker, essentially, for wrecking the home. But I also think this is a little bit misdirected. The frustration and disappointment and all of that should really be directed at your spouse. And I'm sure that there has been. And maybe she's just, you know, exercising all avenues. But I want to know your thoughts on this case. I've never heard of anything like that. So anyway, real quick, we have to take a break to acknowledge the sponsor of today's episode, which is Secret Nature. Secret Nature's ultra premium CBD gummies are crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to fit right into your day with clean, purposeful functionality. So for me personally, I like to take one of their snoozer gummies in the evening to unwind and ensure that I get a good night's sleep. After a long day, especially when my brain is just still running a mile a minute and I can't seem to settle down, I'll take one to help me slow down, unplug, and actually get a good night's sleep. I personally don't drink alcohol because I just don't like the way it makes me feel the next day, but these gummies feel very clean, intentional, and it never leaves me groggy the next morning, just feeling balanced and rested. Secret Nature's gummies are organic and farm grown. They're never lab made. They're ultra premium CBD gummies made with real botanicals and nothing extra. You've got two purpose built options. There's Bliss for clear focus and productive flow if you want to take one during the day, and then you get Snoozers to help you relax and rest at the end of the day. Each gummy has consistent, measured CBD, so there's never any guessing, just clean, reliable functionality that fits naturally into your schedule. Get 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with the code MAMA. That's M-A-M-A. And just a heads up, their Black Friday sale is coming up, and they are going to be offering 25% off on orders of $75 or more, 35% off on orders of $125 or more, and then 40% off on orders of $150 or more between November 26th and the 30th. So don't forget to use my code MAMA when you check out. That's M-A-M-A at secretnature.com. Have you heard of Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth? It's the supplement designed to help women maintain optimal hormone levels. With more than 50,000 glowing reviews worldwide and 98% of women saying that they would recommend it to their friends and family, it's clear why it's such a fan favorite. And now you can take those results even further with their prebiotic collagen protein. This product is all about supporting your gut health, which directly impacts your hormones. When your gut is in balance, it can really amplify the benefits of hormone harmony. So here's what it helps with. It helps with relieving occasional bloating and gas, check, reducing sugar cravings so you feel satisfied longer, definitely need that, supporting healthy, sustainable weight management, which is something I have always struggled with, and boosting energy and supporting general well-being. Again, I think all moms can probably relate to basically all of those symptoms. But personally, I've noticed that adding prebiotic collagen protein to my routine made a big difference. It's given me more energy during the day and just an overall feeling of balance. Like I'm not on this wild roller coaster of hormonal imbalance. And what I really like about Happy Mammoth is their commitment to quality. Their products are inspired by nature, but backed by science, and they never cut corners. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, at checkout. Just go to happymammoth.com and use the code MAMA for 15% off today. Have you ever felt like no matter how much you rest, you're still just running on empty? Fatigue, brain fog, even brittle nails, those can all be signs of iron deficiency. And here's the thing, iron deficiency is way more common than people realize. It affects about 1 in 3 adults, especially women, and traditional iron supplements usually don't cut it. They're hard to absorb, and they often leave you dealing with nausea, constipation, or a metallic-y taste. That's why I recommend Citerol from PharmaNutra. Citerol is a premium iron supplement made with patented sucrosomial technology, which basically wraps the iron in a protective shield so your body can absorb it 3 to 4 times better than standard iron. And the best part is it's gentle on the stomach. There's no nausea, no constipation, and no metallic taste. Citerol has been clinically studied, over 150 published studies, in fact, and it's trusted by more than 2 million people worldwide. It's Italy's number one supplement brand and is finally available here in the U.S. Just one capsule a day with water anytime, with or without food, and you're good to go. So if you're nodding along because you're exhausted, foggy, or just tired of feeling tired, this could be exactly what you've been missing. Head to pharmanutra-us.com and use the code MAMA, that's M-A-M-A, for 10% off your first order of Citerol. That's pharmanutra-us.com with the code MAMA, M-A-M-A, for 10% off today. Moving on to the next story. Now, this is heartbreaking. This happened just this week on Tuesday morning, just after 7 a.m., officers with the Slidell Police Department in Louisiana responded to a heartbreaking scene. 28 miles northeast of New Orleans, this quiet morning turned into every parent's worst nightmare. The victim, 5-year-old Carson Lawson, who had just celebrated his birthday in June, was waiting in his driveway for the school bus. He was standing in front of a 2016 Yukon, which is driven by his grandmother, 55-year-old Kristen Anders of Slidell. She was backing out as she prepared to leave for work and apparently did not see Carson in front of the vehicle, and the SUV struck the boy. He was declared dead at the scene. Now, investigators determined that apparently Kristen Anders showed signs of impairment. According to police, she tested positive for alcohol and central nervous system depressants. She was arrested immediately and booked on a charge of vehicular homicide. At a press conference, Chief Daniel Susano, I think is how you say his name, said, quote, "This is any parent's worst nightmare. I was at the scene this morning as well as several of our officers. This affects everyone. This hits home hard for all of us and all of the first responders who were at that scene." He said that he spoke with Carson's mother several times during the day and added, quote, "There isn't anything I can say to make this situation better. All we can do is pray for peace for this family. Go home, hug your kids or grandkids a little tighter tonight. Life is precious, and tragedy can strike any of us without warning." Neighbors from the subdivision said they heard wailing and saw emergency vehicles arriving after the collision. One neighbor told reporters that they awoke to the sounds, rushed outside, and realized something terrible had occurred. Investigators have indicated that traffic crash investigators with the Slidell Police are continuing to examine the scene, vehicle data, witness statements, and other forensic evidence in order to clarify exactly how Carson came to be in the path of the vehicle and whether Kristen's actions immediately before the crash, including a possible distraction or obscured visibility, played a role. Well, I think the fact that she was drunk at 7 a.m. played a role. So I guess we'll see what happens here. This story is so sad because it's so avoidable. Like, every aspect of this story is so avoidable. Why are we getting drunk at 7 a.m.? And listen, I know that's a hypothetical question. Many of you guys who listen to this know that I had a mom who struggled with alcoholism. And it's actually interesting that this happened this week because my family, we were going through old boxes of pictures, just kind of like reorganizing things. And we found a vanilla extract bottle hidden among all these pictures. And that was one of the things that my mom would do to get her fix, because if you don't know, vanilla extract has a 35% alcohol content, I guess, within the bottle. So she would just take shots of vanilla extract. I mean, that is how desperate she was to get a fix. And when she, you know, was being tested for UAs and things like that, like, I don't know if she thought she could beat it that way, but it just goes to show you how sick the mind gets when you're so addicted to a substance like that. So being drunk at 7 a.m. tells me that there is something deeper and darker that's been going on for a long time for this to happen. But I just hope that if you're listening to this and if you're struggling or you know someone who is, that it compels you to, like, get it together, get some help, ask for help. It does not have to be like this. You don't have to live like this, and you don't have to put your family through this and everything that comes with it. So, okay. Sorry for the soapbox. We're going to move on to the last story, which was recommended to me on Instagram by one of our listeners. So thank you so much for engaging with that question box. Now, this story comes out of Craven County, North Carolina. Authorities in the county are now entering the third week of an intense manhunt for 24-year-old Dominic Liam Connolly, who was accused of killing his grandmother and later stabbing a sheriff's deputy before escaping into rural wooded terrain. The case began on October 25th when fire crews responded to a burning home just outside of Havelock. Inside, they found the body of 72-year-old Patricia Lopedote, which is Dominic's grandmother. Investigators quickly determined the fire had been intentionally set and that Patricia had been killed before the blaze started. Her vehicle was also missing. Over the next several days, deputies tracked Connolly's movements around Craven County. That search took a violent turn on October 29th when Connolly allegedly walked into a Bojangles restaurant in Vanceboro and attacked a Craven County deputy, stabbing him inside the building before running out the back door and disappearing into the woods. The deputy survived but required emergency medical care. From there, the search exploded into one of the largest manhunts the county has ever seen. Law enforcement teams from federal, state, and local agencies swept through the 3,000 acres of dense woods and searched more than 450 structures, including barns, sheds, abandoned homes, hunting blinds, and vehicles. They deployed helicopters, fixed-wing aircrafts, heat-seeking drones, canine teams, mounted patrols, and trail cameras scattered across rural property lines. So we are talking, like, all hands on deck. Now, authorities say Connolly was last credibly spotted on November 4th, moving through a wooded area near NC 43 and Mile Road. He was wearing beige or tan coveralls, possibly scavenged from an outbuilding or an unlocked structure. Despite heavy saturation of the area, no additional confirmed sightings have been made since. Because there is no solid evidence that Connolly is still in Craven County, the search has now shifted from a massive ground operation to a nationwide intelligence-driven fugitive search, focusing on associates, possible transportation, financial activity, and anyone who might be helping him survive. Officers have openly stated that they believe Connolly may be receiving outside assistance and warned that anyone helping him could face felony charges. Residents in the Vanceboro and Havelock areas have been urged to remain vigilant, keep vehicles locked, secure sheds and barns, bring pets and livestock feed indoors, and report anything disturbed or out of place. Connolly is considered extremely dangerous, and authorities warn the public not to approach him under any circumstances. A $10,000 reward is being offered for information leading to his capture. Deputies say even small tips, trail camera footage, missing tools or food, footprints, or property tampering, all of this could help narrow down his path. As of now, Connolly remains at large. The charges against him include murder, first-degree arson, attempted first-degree murder, larceny of a motor vehicle, and felony assault on a law enforcement officer. The Craven County Sheriff's Office says they are committed to finding him, and they will not stop until he is in custody. Now that is it for this week's weekly docket. I hope you all have a great, safe weekend. Stay vigilant, stay curious. Mama Mystery out. Bye.
In cybersecurity, speed is survival. SOC Radar is your early warning system, monitoring external threats to your company to spot risks before breaches. SOC Radar delivers proactive threat intelligence with actionable insights for holistic exposure management across attack surfaces, dark web, and brand protection. With automated detection, triage, and investigation, SOC Radar is your business's frontline defense. Start your free trial at socradar.io/podcast. That's socradar.io/podcast. Don't wait.